Sentire Media.
All right, you did it. You downloaded the podcast from Italy. We're going to go quick and dirty this evening. It's the end of April. It's stormy and rainy outside. I'm Jason, Ashley.
Ciao.
And together we have La Tavola Marche and Agriturismo in the foothills of central Italy. And it's been typical spring weather lately. You know, pretty schizophrenic sun and then rain and
like
then
we're
hail.
Starting to get a suntan and wearing tank tops to then snow in some places on top of our mountain in Monte Nerone. Exactly what the oldies kept saying. Snow or freezing temps in May. And I know it's the end of April, but they were not far off.
No freezing temps tonight. We've got drizzle happening, so cloud cover makes it so that we don't have to cover the baby trees. But we're going to do it quick and dirty because we got a lot going on. We're opening up here in a couple of weeks. And other than the, you know, weeding and painting and plumbing and mowing, there's not a lot going on. It's pretty much keep your head down and clean up and get ready.
But you did take a day trip.
I took a day trip.
If you want to call it that.
Last podcast, I talked about my big
Richie Brothers.
Big purchase of my 30-year-old dump truck with 420,000 kilometers on it. I went and picked it up and drove it back home. And
which was, you took the train from Florence to Piacenza.
Why would I take the train from Florence?
Sorry, from Fano. Why did I say that? To Piacenza. And then you were driving the truck
back home, about a 4-hour drive, which turned out to be a little bit longer because top speed in that baby is 85 kilometers, not 85 miles an hour, 85 kilometers an hour. It was, you're basically in the right lane with all the semi trucks, which was fine.
You said that was easier than managing the roundabouts where you kept stalling out because the gears are in weird places.
Yeah, it's not a standard, the pattern of gears is not standard. It's weird. It's a truck. So I would always, when I come up to the roundabouts and try to downshift, I miss the gear because I didn't realize which gear I was in, which the truck hated. But we made it home and, got it stuck in the mud straight away.
Yep.
I was going to park it in our little driveway place and put it under the trees where there's, it's not stuck. I mean, I guess it's stuck. Put it under the trees where there's all the like wet and leaves and everything in the back. And I go to move it the other day and the back tires just spin.
I thought, perfect.
So nothing a shovel and a couple of boards can't take care of. I just haven't done it yet.
No, but it was just classic.
Next stop will be the mechanic and see. It's an oily mess underneath, but it did make it 400 kilometers, I got to say, without overheating or anything. So it shouldn't be too bad. As long as it's safe to drive, I don't care about a little bit of leakiness.
Right after you got home from that fun field trip, there was another one headed your way. You were jumping back in the car to go south to Ancona because we got a phone call from the breeder of Leroy.
So Leroy has become he's become the stud of their breeding. Like
their
he's the
great blue Great Dane male that they have on hand.
And we have now gotten into a world we know nothing about, which is really interesting. The world of like dog
breeding. So she contacts me, and we normally speak in Italian, and her name is Irene, but in Italian it's pronounced Irene. And for some reason we started speaking in English, and she speaks great English, but sometimes it's a bit of an Italian accent, and sometimes it's almost slightly Eastern in a way. And she kept saying there are many requests for Leroy's salmon, and that from France, Poland, Spain, and there was a bitch in heat ready to go. And she goes, that's the technical term. I go, I know it is. But that was ready to go. And so he had an exciting day that Jason took him to.
About 2 hours south to, I don't know, well, obviously she's a breeder, but she finds the most fantastic veterinary centers. Like, we go to the farm vet, which is basically like a table with a light above it, and there's not a lot of equipment. Like, it's a farm vet. There's not a lot of equipment there. The places she takes me to are kitted out, decked out, ready for...
He sent me a picture. It looked like almost like a spa waiting room. Yeah. It was like white leather lounge couches, a water feature.
Anyway, I was very interested. I had no idea what was going to happen. Now, she also accompanied me when he got his stomach staple thing over Christmas. And she took care of it. Like, I showed up and she just grabbed the leash and I saw Leroy stumbling out an hour and a half later. This time, I got to participate in
unfortunately.
Everything. So I was really curious, how does this work? Like, obviously they're sending it to France. The dog isn't here. What's going on? Is there going to be like a fake dog? Is there going to be like, do they put him out and like take it surgically?
Oh, you guys listen
somewhere?
To podcasts? I was wondering, like, old school Joe Rogan, is it some weird like dog fleshlight? Like something that they're, I know, but I didn't know.
Anyway, I'm not going to be crass, right? So don't worry. But
yes.
It is. So we go in, she shows up and she brought one of the other females that she had that was in heat. Just turned out that was his mother. So it was right off the bat. It was like,
why is she here?
I was
here?
Like, why?
Why is his mom here?
Why is his mom here? She's like, well, this is to get him stimulated. And I'm like, and he'll try to mount her. And I'm like, his mother? She's like, they don't care. Like, it's a dog. They don't care. So we go into the room with the vet, and
it's already like, oh my god.
And I just kind of stand back because I don't know what to do or if I'm going to get in the way or whatever. And the vet's behind him, and Irene has the female dog, Leroy's mom, and Leroy's just kind of walking around. He doesn't really know what to do. He's a little stressed out, but there is a female dog in heat right there. So we kind of like position him behind. He's sniffing, does his thing. Finally, he kind of figures it out, but he comes onto the side of her, and both the vet and Irene start laughing, and they're like, Jovene.
He's so young.
He doesn't even know what to do. So finally he figures out what to do, and there was no contraption. There was no anything. Without being crass, the vet manually extracted the semen into a cup while I had to hold the front part of Leroy while this is all going on. And I love my dog, but
I didn't think you were participating.
I didn't think I was participating. And the amount was surprisingly a lot. Think of a doctor's Dixie cup filled a solid third of the way up. It filled three vials. Now, the DHL guy was waiting in. This is what blew me away. Like, this is very – for Italy, this is super organized. DHL guy is waiting in the waiting room. We've got the box with the dry ice ready to go with, like, the vial little – like, it's all prepped. You just slide the vial into the little styrofoam with the dry ice and off it.
Wait. You forgot two things.
What's that?
The blood test to make sure it was Leroy. And the topper, as he's telling me the whole crazy story in a lot more detail and a lot more crass. He goes, oh, don't worry. If I missed anything, they made a video of it.
They made a video of it so that there's no fraud. We made a video of the whole thing, which is like weird doggy porn.
I was like, maybe he needs an OnlyFans page.
And also they had to do a DNA test on his blood and a test on the semen to prove that it was live and good before it left. And off it went to France to get there in Paris the next morning. And what happened after that, I'm not sure yet. We'll probably find out in a couple weeks.
Yep.
Because if the dog didn't get pregnant, they're going to want another sample, because that's the deal. If it doesn't work for some reason, the first time, we're obligated to provide another sample at no cost again. So we'll see. I don't know, man. Next time, Ashley's going.
I'm not participating. You said there was like 40 vets walking around. I'll wait in the waiting room. I don't need to be an active participant.
So Leroy's going to be a proud papa. We'll see. I'm sure Ashley will put up photos of Leroy's puppies. I wouldn't mind a Leroy puppy, to be quite honest. Hey, Max, it's okay.
But you said you wanted a Harlequin.
I want the spotted ones.
Spotted ones. The black and white spotted one next.
Actually, I want a Basset Hound.
True.
Ashley will be going back to visit family in the autumn after the season ends, and she will return probably to a Basset Hound. Look at this idiot chasing her tail. All right, moving on. What's the name of the media company?
Sentire.
Sentire Media. They have much better analytics. Like, we never really did analytics before. It was just like, who cares? I don't know. But now they have this whole really, really modern-looking breakdown of everything. And looking at it, it kind of blew my mind of... Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like a million people listen to this. But... Where some of you that listen come from. And, of course, you know, it's...
North America,
Italy,
UK,
you know, that kind
Australia.
Of thing. But some of the more interesting ones was there are 19 people who listen to us in Nepal.
How did you hear about us, you guys? That's crazy. What? How are there 19?
How are there 19 of you in Nepal? That's insane. There's, what's another one that was really interesting? Saudi Arabia. We have 3 people in Saudi Arabia.
And the UAE. Shout out to you guys. There's 3 of you. If you hear it, that's you.
Kuwait. If you are listening to us in Kuwait, you're it. You're the person in Kuwait listening to
one.
Us. Thank you very much for downloading. Vietnam, there's 2 of you. I don't know.
Uzbekistan.
Yeah, Uzbekistan.
Two
people in one of the stands.
Jason's thinking this has got to be bots.
Oh, yeah, I think this is probably just bots.
I think maybe it might be someone in the military or something. I don't know. Or is it just yokels?
That means that all these countries that have just a couple of people would all be military. We're very popular then with the military.
I don't know. I have no idea. I just don't know how, if you're in Kuwait, how you found us.
I don't know.
Well, thanks for listening, you guys. Blow our mind. If you're one of those crazy countries we shouted out.
If you're in Uzbekistan, Vietnam, Argentina, Finland, Kuwait, Slovakia, or Turkey, let us know how you found us. That's very interesting. You're the one person.
We did this a couple years ago, but send us a picture from where you are listening, because it's always interesting like this to see. It kind of makes the world feel a little smaller and blows our mind that someone way out there is listening. Well, I thought since we're not really cheesy anniversary people, but we just had our anniversary a couple days ago, and it made me think of our honeymoon, which was to Italy. And because Jason said the famous words were, let's have a small wedding and a rockin' honeymoon. So that's exactly what we did.
And the honeymoon, and when we got back from our honeymoon, it was the genesis of the idea of living out here and really the reason why.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. That we had never been to Italy before. And so we decided to come on our honeymoon, and we were here for like almost 3 weeks, I think. And we flew in to Venice, and we made our way down towards Ischia and down along the coast over there and the Amalfi coast. And it just, and all the way up to the mountains. But that trip, a year and a half later, we were living here, and I thought maybe it would be fun to share a couple of like the greatest hits from it. When we flew in,
it was this week.
Exactly. So we would have been in Venice, was where we first arrived. And I remember that all the guidebooks said to try like the squid ink and in the risotto and all of that. But wherever we went the first night, we had vongole and the little clams and pasta. And I thought it was the most delicious thing I had ever had. And that was the first word that I learned in Italian. It was vongole. And the next 2 or 3 days we were in Venice, I would just walk into restaurants and ask to see their menu. Or I'd just say, vongole? Here? Vongole? And that is what predicted where we were going to eat.
And the funny part is, now that we live here and know, every fish restaurant serves vongole.
But like, I had no idea. And I was just like, I got to get me some of that.
One of my favorite ones was when we returned the rental car back to Napoli. And we didn't,
oh my God.
We sideswiped it. Ashley took us on a shortcut between Napoli and the Amalfi Coast that ended up being like this walking trail with stone walls on each side that got narrower and narrower. And finally, like, we scraped one side of the car. Pretty good.
And then it just dead ended.
And then it dead ended.
And it was like, oh my God. And I remember being in the car. I felt so bad because, yeah, I was like, let's do a little shortcut. I've always heard the roads to Amalfi along the coast there are legendarily scary and horrendous. So let me find a little shortcut and destroy the car in the meantime. As this stone wall on either side, this walking path got tighter and tighter. I remember being in the car and trying to put my body tighter and tighter. Like if I sat with my legs crossed and like held myself in, which somehow that squeezed the car tighter. And we get through and there's a lady and she just is shaking her head and says, no auto. And we're like, oh my God. And all of a sudden, the classic Italian style, all these people show up and this guy on a moped, they kick Jason out of the car.
Because there was barely enough. If you backed it up 50 meters, there was maybe enough room.
It was going to be like a 47-point turn kind of thing. And
I'm not doing
we
it.
Were living in New York. You hadn't been driving anyway. And the guy just kicks Jason out of the car. He gets in and just starts working the brake, e-brake, and turning. And finally gets his turn around and then jumps back on the moped. And they tell us to follow him, which means the only way we can do it is now go back down the same road that scraped the car. And hope it doesn't scrape the other side. Just keep it on the one side. And exactly. So that's what the car situation was. And we take it back.
So it's time to return the car. And it's like, oh, this is going to cost a lot of money. And we just got married and we didn't have a lot of money. And I didn't really want to go through the hassle of sitting there and filling out the paperwork. So it's like, all right, let's think.
Oh, because it looked like someone like keyed the whole side of
scraped.
Scraped.
Yeah. Sideswiped the car. Now, no dents, just a bunch of paint. You can imagine. So I thought, let's think how can we think of this being Italian?
Because now we had just been here for almost 3 weeks.
Yeah. And it was like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to return it to the place, but we're going to return it to the place 10 minutes before they close for lunch, right? Because I don't want this to be 8 o'clock in the morning with all the time. Fresh eyes and all that. Secondly, we're going to park the car in a way that it is facing, the good side is facing the window of the office. And thirdly is we're just going to chat this guy up. So I go in, give him the keys. Everything all right? Yeah, everything's good. As soon as I saw who this guy was and what he was, first of all, the whole time he was helping me, he was smoking a cigarette inside of the office on the cell phone.
That's
so I thought,
I was hoping you were going to remember that.
We're golden. I thought we're golden. So
highly distracted.
Yeah. So I give him the keys. He like puts the phone down. Everything okay? Yeah. We go outside. He hops in the car. Now he hops into the driver's side, which was the good side. And still on the phone, still smoking the cigarette, making sure checking the mileage and checking how much gas is there. And then just kind of walks around halfway to the back of the car, still on the phone, still chain smoking the cigarette, and says, all right, no problem, come in and sign. I thought, holy crap.
We like ran. It said no damage.
It said no damage on the thing, and we got out of there. And I thought,
take your money,
man,
take it and run.
I love this country.
That was not the only incident we got into that with that car. Do you remember we blocked traffic in Montesi in a teeny tiny town? We were going to go on a hot air balloon ride, and the night before we thought, oh, let's do a little drive around because we have to be at this place at 6 a.m. So let's do a little dry run from our agriturismo to there to check it out. And we go to drive in through this little town. And
we're coming down.
No, you were going up.
Out, and I cut. And there's this ramp. And I cut the ramp.
Stone ramp.
And I cut the ramp a little too close. And I high centered the car so that the ramp kind of hit the middle, and the front wheels didn't have enough traction to pull us up the hill, and we were just sitting there.
And it was a tiny town, like a little Piobico that was dead. It was right in the middle of lunch.
That's right. This car took a beating.
Everything was, we took it to the Alps. Everything was closed. I don't even know if there was a restaurant or anything like that. And all of a sudden, just like out of freaking Beauty and the Beast or something, some old lady opens her shutters and sees the Jason and I with the car looking at it going like, what the hell do we do? And also the way he had backed it up, he was blocking the main road.
Well, it was the main ramp up into the Walt City. Yeah.
Which meant, come to find out, as the village people start coming out and everyone were now like old ladies are showing me the sign, since I can't speak Italian, and they're doing like the cuckoo, like the head, like he's crazy. Don't get in the car with him. Then the whole town's showing up. There's like the mechanics coming with blocks. They're going to figure out how to do this. And then right on cue, a bike marathon or whatever, a bike group comes through and they can't pass because the car is there and they're pissed. And then the old guys, everyone ends up, did they just pick up the car?
Yeah, I mean, this was a little Fiat. So basically they threw a block underneath to put the, whatever. Six guys came, we picked up the car, and we were out of there.
But it was great. Also on this trip was, when we went to Ischia, we stayed at this lovely little bed and breakfast. It was so sweet. And we were watching how much the couple worked and that they would, we would go and take a nap and they'd be mopping the floors and we'd go to bed at night and he'd be still pouring more drinks and offering grappa in the coffee. And it was, do you know exactly what I'm going to say? This was the place that, be careful what you say you'll never do. This was the place that Jason declared, I never want to do this.
Well, we're sitting there at having, you know, coffee or whatever after dinner. And Ashley goes, you know, we could do something like this. And I look at her, I go, are you crazy? These people were up before us. They've never sat down yet. Here it is, you know, 11 o'clock. We're going to go to bed. They probably still have two hours of work cleaning up and everything. They work like slaves. Who wants to do that?
You know, I never want to do that.
I never want to do that.
Ta-da! Also on this trip was when we were in Trastevere at the very end in the little neighborhood of Rome, which at the time felt very much like kind of Brooklyn where we were living, which at the time was not hip at all. And Trastevere was still very much kind of a little hidden gem, if you will, of a neighborhood. And that was where the seed really was planted, though. I just remember sitting there having a glass of wine or sharing a bottle of a red from Vesuvius with Jason and watching the hustle and bustle of the kids going home, the men on the cell phone, whether they're telling their wives to drop the pasta or checking in with their mamas, who knew. And I just thought, after all this, you know, this great trip here and all that we've kind of consumed in every way, whether it was the food or the culture or the lifestyle and the pace, that I looked over to Jason and I said, we could live here. And I remember he was like, yep, have another, oh, looks like the wine's working kind of thing. Have another glass of wine. And I just thought, no, I think we could. And that was, that moment was when the seed was planted for me. It was this trip out here. So we totally get it when people are moonstruck, love struck, whatever it is, dream drunk and say, I want to move to Italy. I've only been there once. And it's like, I get it. That is exactly what happened to us.
But you got to follow through.
Yeah, for sure. Any other favorite spots? I loved when we went up to the Alps and saw the ski jump from the Olympics. And that...
And Cortina.
Uh-huh. And I think that was from like the 1956 Olympics. And up there was just truly the first time I had ever seen like alpine meadows and the peaks of the mountains in April. It was just so gorgeous. If you get a chance... I highly recommend it. No, but just go up to the Alps. People stick to Central Italy between Central Italy, from between Venice and Rome, a lot of people do. But it's like travel a bit beyond, and it's pretty spectacular.
Well, that's a good recap of the big hits of that trip.
Yeah, I think that's good. It was a blast. Anything else that you wanted to share on this one?
No, we got to keep this one short and quick and dirty.
All right. If you guys are looking to come out here in November or the end of October, we still have a few spots as well for the truffle hunting holiday, where it's two truffle hunts, a cooking class. We go to the International White Truffle Festival in Aquilania. We do the market tour and tasting in Apecchio. It's a blast. There's a video. There's all the details on the website. And you know where to find us, letavolamarche.com. LATAVOLAMARCHE.com, or check us out on Instagram, X, whatever, YouTube, and Facebook.
All right, very good. Thanks for listening, and we'll do another one again next month.
All right, have a good one. Ciao, ciao.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentiti Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.